Welcome to At the Library with your host, Diane Barker, local author and conference speaker. For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com.
Holly Varney is a native Minnesotan of strong Norwegian and Swedish descent. Drawing on her Midwestern upbringing, she crafts a tale filled with quirky characters and homespun charm set in the Minnesota town of Moonberry Lake. She and her husband live on the central coast of California with their three sons, but her beloved Midwest roots continue to haunt everything she writes. Holly says the characters of Moonberry Lake and their unique stories came about as she was trying to survive being a boy mom. When not doing laundry or writing, she has the privilege of being a hospice volunteer where she sits with the dying and listens to their stories. On Moonberry Lake lures readers into an enchanting story of reconciliation, growth, and community to discover how friendships can transform into families and how genuine love can heal the brokenhearted. She hosts the Moments from Moonberry Lake podcast, where she shares more stories of her beloved characters. Holly, I am so delighted to welcome you to At the Library.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Just before we began the interview, I was asking about your education and background, and your story was fascinating. Tell me about the degrees that you hold and how you actually got your training for writing.
It is an interesting tale because I actually began headstrong in cultural anthropology, and why I went into cultural anthropology was I was fascinated with the death and dying practices among our culture and comparing it to others. And then after I received my BA in cultural anthropology, I went on to an MA in human development where I studied more of how I could be present and help people in the dying process. And I have been doing hospice volunteering and training for countless years. It's just been a part of my life. It's just imprinted on my soul. I absolutely love it. And I began writing these stories that are in this book now when my own mother was going through cancer, and she wanted something that was silly and fun, but very, you know, uplifting and distracting. And I began telling her these stories. And then as I wrote this book, I began reading them to my hospice patients. And I would hear from family members how much it meant to them, or how they would call me and say, "Mom is wanting to know what happens next." And I write stories that are always uplifting, but my little specialty is that I bring in a quirkiness and almost an absurdity. I know that sounds silly, but I love making a ridiculous situation endearing. And so I create these characters and this town where your business is everybody's business, and all these diverse characters, they just get into these situations that make you laugh. And that's my whole purpose in writing this, is to distract you from your physical pain just for a few moments.
Well, this is your debut novel. Tell us what's in this book. What's it about?
Well, this book was a sweet book to my heart because it was about a young woman who has recently lost her mother, and she's brought back to this small Midwestern town in the Northwoods of Minnesota called Moonberry Lake. And there's a unique inheritance there that forces her to stay. But there's also some family secrets that she's trying to unravel during this time. But her stay there, the most eclectic and funny group of neighbors start to just intrude on her life in the most hilarious ways. And she arrived there thinking, "I have nobody in my life." And by the end of the book, she has this family. And I wanted to really promote the idea that for many people, family does not have to be blood. Family can be the people that you least expected, that is the person next door, that is your community at church, that, you know, are people that just love on you and are there for you.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought and so true. Well, what was the inspiration for this story?
The inspiration was, I'm a Minnesota girl that grew up with all the stories from Garrison Keillor talking about Lake Wobegon. And that was a staple growing up as a kid, and I never forgot it. And when I had family members and other people that loved, if you remember Jan Karen's Midford series.
Yes.
They loved that small town feeling. And I thought, more stories need to be written about a fictional small town, but that you can imagine yourself there, that you would want to live there. And then you learn about the lives of these people and you just get swept away. And again, my whole purpose for writing this was to entertain and distract, because I'm so aware of just the physical pain that so many people are having to endure on a daily basis. And sometimes the only thing you can do is hear something that's so outrageous, you stop thinking about what's happening in your own life for a moment.
Well, what are some of the underlying themes in this book on Midberry Lake?
The underlying themes, first and foremost, is, you know, community, that family, once again, does not have to be blood. I wanted to bring back, especially after this time of so much isolation from the pandemic, that we need to reach out to our neighbors. We need to reach out to people that normally we would think we would have nothing in common with and find a commonality. And, you know, it's just the whole basis of it is how new friendships can be such a miracle in your life of it how it enriches you and how it surprises you. But in the end, it just is this binding factor. And I think we've missed that. I think we've missed just reaching out to people in our own community. And we need to get back to that. And that's why I love the idea of this small town where everyone looks after each other and everyone goes out of their way to help each other.
Yes, that is kind of a vanishing scene these days, isn't it?
It is.
Well, your protagonist, Cora Matthews, has a lot of unresolved questions surrounding her childhood visits to Moonberry Lake. Without giving away any spoilers, can you provide some hints about why Cora and her mother left this small town?
Oh, it's so hard not to. It's so hard not to give away the spoilers. But, you know, she remembers very little. And it has to do about a lot of, you know, family secrets, but how that tears people apart. But ultimately, in the end, on as she looks back on how it could have been resolved with just some forgiveness, with just extending some grace, and how on the part of her mother, and it makes her reflect on how she does not want to make that same mistake. So sometimes we can look at our parents or other people in our life and see how they've maybe cut off people because of an argument, of a disagreement, of something, and then they don't talk to them for years and years and years. And then the next generation is like, why did that happen? Why was I deprived of growing up with this person in my life? And it comes down to a disagreement. And so I wanted to bring in those you know, heartstrings of, we need to remember forgiveness. We need to remember, you know, showing grace and not letting the small things interfere with the bigger things like family.
Oh, well said. Forgiveness can really change the direction of our lives, can't it?
Absolutely. And for Cora, she feels as though she was deprived of this family because her mother was not willing to forgive. And so, you know, it you know, kind of trickled down to her. And so, you know, by the end of the book, she has learned, first of all, so much from living in this community where all of these people she normally, I don't even think, would have ever approached or talked to, have just poured love and friendship onto her. But she looks at it and is like, no, I'm going to lead my life differently. And I'm going to be better at extending, you know, the forgiveness and not doing the same for the next generation.
Well, tell our listeners what led to Cora's eventual return to her hometown.
I feel comfortable telling that because it's the very first page. And so it opens with her at the funeral of her mother. And so it happens when her mother passes away and she has to go to Moonberry Lake, you know, to have her buried, because that is why where her mother wanted to be buried with the rest of her family. And that is how it unfolds. She's brought back to this town, but then she's like, what happened here? Why was I, you know, deprived of this relationship with my grandparents? Why was I not, you know, because she can remember as a little girl a very emotional and dramatic scene, and then it was never discussed again. And it was one of, and I've run into so many families, especially when I work in hospice, of when family members get angry or they cut someone off and they're like, it's never to be discussed. And that leaves so many questions for people that are outside of the argument of like, but I don't understand. And so I, you know, Cora comes back and her mother was all she had. And so she truly feels alone in the world. She has no siblings. And because of her mother's choices, she was cut off from this other family. So she's coming back searching, and she's never felt, you know, her place in the world until this Moonberry Lake community absolutely just surrounds her and picks her up and holds her.
Give us some insight into your writing process. How do you go about beginning a novel? This, again, you're kind of new to this, right?
I have been writing for years and years and years, but it's one of these things where I knew the amount of time that publishing would take, and I was just such a full-time mama, and oh my goodness, my boys required so much work, and my husband said, nope, now is not the time. But I would attend writers conferences, and I would put in the work of learning the craft. I would do everything, but it wasn't until I felt like every door was constantly shut, and God was saying, not now. No, not now. And it's a funny story, because when I finally got my first book contract, was the exact same day that my youngest graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
And I am like, that is no coincidence. That is absolutely no coincidence. And so, you know, for me, it has been a long process, but also during the hardest times, because I began writing this when my mom went through cancer, and little did I know, 10 years to the day later, I developed cancer. And this book I had written for her, but I found how comforting it was for me to read while I was going through that journey. And I kept believing in it. And my process is, it's so funny because the first line will always come to me. And the first line of moments from On Moonberry Lake, where you open it up and it'll say, her mother knew when someone was pregnant and when someone was dying. And from there, I explored, okay, what does that mean? And I just go, and I know there are a lot of people out there, bless their hearts, the writers that can outline everything, and they're great plotters. And for me, it's really this wonderful open ride with the Holy Spirit. I just sit down and I'm like, okay, what do you have today for me? And I start at the first sentence, and I go right to the end. And everyone I've talked to is like, do not tell people that. Do not make them think it's that easy. And I'm like, no, it's not. But I've always found that it's almost this sacred communion that I have with the Holy Spirit of, what do you want, you know, to tell me today? And these characters speak to me. And my husband always laughs. He's like, you cannot tell people that you talk to these people, that you think they're real, Holly. That is not, you know, and I do. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in my office, he'll open the door and he's like, are you on the phone or are you talking to a character? I'm like, I'm just talking to a character. What do you need? You know, and it's crazy and it's fun. And I'm just doing this for the joy of it. I really am. And it's my sincerest hope that it makes people smile. I have shared this story with so many people, and I love the smiles. I love the chuckles. I love how they adopt their favorite character immediately, and people will call me up and say, I just met. And of course, you know, they believe these characters are real to them too, and I'll go along with it. I'm like, I'm so glad.
For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email us at whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com. For more information about the host, Diane Barker, visit dianebarker.com. Join us again next time for At the Library.